Welcome to the Tell Us Something podcast. I'm Mark Moss, your host. Tell Us Something seeks to celebrate the craft of live storytelling. The Missoula community comes together for a night of shared stories, told live, focused on a theme. Tell Us Something is a quarterly event. Everyone has a story. What's yours? This quarter's Tell Us Something was recorded on March 7, 2012, at the Top Hat, and features 8 storytellers telling a story based upon the theme, Rites of Passage. This week's story comes to us from Grace Decker and is titled, With My Parents. Thank you for listening.
So this is partly just so that I feel comfortable standing up here. So if you ask any of my bandmates, they will tell you that I am not much of a practicer. That has always been true. Even when I was little, I started learning how to play the fiddle when I was about 4, although it was violin, very specifically at that point. And I didn't like to practice much then either. But there was one summer when I did probably more practicing than I have ever done since. It's the summer when I was 10. So I was a Suzuki violin student. And if you know anything about Suzuki, the Suzuki method, what that means is it's a method of teaching violin to children that was invented by Shinhiro Suzuki many years ago. Millions of children have probably learned to play fiddle this way, or violin this way, at this point. Everyone starts the same way. And so if you know the Suzuki method, you know the drill. You move through the books. Every child who learns in the same order. And so on and so on. Well, so my mother would always load me and my brother, and then me and my brother and my sister, and then eventually me and my brother and my sister and my other brother into the car, and drive 2 towns over to the South Shore Conservatory, where I took violin lessons from Cindy Weller, whose main job was teaching violin lessons in the public schools to 100 students at a time. But she also taught some private students, and that was me. And my mother and my siblings spent many, many hours getting us over there and getting us back. The summer when I turned 10, the International Suzuki Festival was going to be held relatively near my home. And the International Suzuki Festival is held every year in a different city anywhere around the world, actually rarely in the United States. And this year it happened to be in Springfield, Massachusetts, which is about 2 hours from where I lived. And my teacher, Cindy Weller, who when I was an adult begged me to call her Cindy, and I can barely do it even now, she suggested that I register for the Suzuki Festival. And she said, I think we could get you in at level 7, but if you learn this one piece, we could get you in at level 8. And I said, well, let's do level 8. What's involved? And she said, well, you would have to learn how to play in third position. You can ask any of my bandmates. I'm still not real good at playing in third position, but this is, in fact, the summer when I learned how. Third position is when you slide your fingers up the neck like that and just play with your fingers in essentially the same place but slid up to a higher position. Maybe this is why, actually, I'm not very good at it even till today, because I learned it really quickly for this one specific purpose. The purpose was to learn a particular piece of music. If you know the Suzuki method, you're familiar with that one as well. So the Suzuki Festival happens like this. It's in a huge space, something like the Adams Center. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of violin students of all ages, from the little teeny-weeniest 4-year-olds all the way up to graduating seniors who've progressed all the way through all of the books and are now really quite accomplished. Every single person who's there, every single person from the very smallest to the very biggest, all stand up together. You all do the thing that you do. And then everyone plays together. And then everyone sits down, except the very, very most advanced students who stay standing up and play their very most impressive piece from, book 42 or something. And then, when they're finished, the next most advanced students stand up, and they play their most accomplished piece together with the very most advanced students. And when that's finished, the next group stands up, and so on, until you've moved all the way back through, and the very, very little ones get to stand up again, and everybody concludes with a rousing rendition of... again. Well, that was the idea. And in order for me to go into level 8, I had to learn how to play in third position. And I practiced and practiced and practiced all that summer. I practiced 2 hours a day. I sometimes practiced more than 2 hours a day. My brother thought I was crazy, but he actually did tell my mother once, "She's starting to sound kind of good." And then it was the big day. And I realized on the day of the big day that my mother and father were going to take me 2-hour drive out to Springfield, sit through the concert, and drive me home. Just me. My brother and my sister and my brother were not coming. Now, any of you who are from a family of more than, say, 2 children understand what a strange and rare occurrence this is. In my memory, this had probably never happened before, that I was going to spend all day alone with my parents. It was very exciting. When we got to the festival, my violin teacher, Cindy Weller, Mrs. Weller, said to me, Grace, I talked to them, and it's okay. We can put you in level 7 if you want. And I looked at her like she was crazy. I had just spent all summer practicing for this. No way. The festival was chaotic, hectic, and really, 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 really fun. Played the piece. The point of the story is actually not that at this point. The point is that I got to spend all day alone with my parents, which was about the only time that had ever happened, and it wasn't over yet. After the festival, after all the playing was done and everyone had found their correct case and that sort of a project in and of itself, my father said, "Hey, why don't we go out to dinner?" Like, just me and my parents? That's pretty awesome. And my mother said, "Why don't we go to the European?" Like, that... was the limit for me. The European was, and I say was because it is no longer, was an Italian restaurant in the north end of Boston. Now, this is like 1980, so that does not mean this was northern Italian cuisine. We're talking about red sauce. And we were, in fact, going to have a pizza. But this was the very limit. It was absolutely the most elegant thing that had ever happened to me. I was wearing a long black velvet skirt. I was wearing a white top because that's what you wear when you play the violin and you're 10. And we were going to the European, just us. I remember sitting at the table and thinking, this is the most perfect day. This is the most perfect day. I'm so glad to be me and that these are my parents. I'm so glad. And I was reminded of that feeling and of that moment about 12 years later. When my parents put me on the train together to move to Montana. I'd spent a summer in Montana, and I was moving back. And I think they maybe even knew more than I did that this was it, that I really was moving. And now that it's been almost 17 years, they were right. This was, in fact, home, and that was, in fact, it. And the interesting thing about it is that my parents were no longer together by the time I was 11. My mother left our family, and I was raised by my dad after that. And so he spent many, many years driving me to violin lessons and sitting in the car while I did my violin lesson and sitting through endless, I'm sure, god-awful high school orchestra concerts. But they never did that together again. And in fact, when they saw me off at the train, that's probably about the only time that the three of us were alone together ever since. So I was realizing that sometimes, you know, a rite of passage might be something that you look forward to for a long time. Or like a really long time. Sometimes a rite of passage might only be something that you notice in the rearview mirror. Thanks.
Tell Us Something is brought to you by the bookstore at the University of Montana and the Top Hat Lounge. Tell Us Something would like to thank the bookstore at the University of Montana, a local bookstore serving the students, staff, and faculty of the University of Montana, as well as the general Missoula community. MontanaBookstore.com. The Top Hat Lounge, regularly bringing Missoula great live music. TopHatMissoula.com. Fact and Fiction, where books, authors, ideas, and readers interact. FactandFictionBooks.com. Garage Tees, screen printing, t-shirts, and more. GarageTees.com. Josh Quick, illustration and design. QuickJosh.com. Rockin' Rudy's, your source for funky gifts, cards and music. Great people, great music. RockinRudy's.com. Thanks to Cash for Junkers, who provided the music for the podcast. They have new music up on their site. Find them at CashforJunkersMusic.com. The next Tell Us Something is scheduled for May 29th at the Top Hat. Find us on Twitter.com/PSSTTELLUS. Twitter.com/TellUs. And Facebook and at TellUsSomething.org. Tell Us Something is a quarterly event. Everyone has a story. What's yours? To pitch your story, please call 203 46